You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Anytime the Cowboys sign a free agent, we should treat it, Mike, like it's the old Jerry Lewis telephone. Rico Dowdle, add him to the list of Eric Kendricks, Jordan Lewis, and the original, Trent Sieg.
You know what that looks like to me? Super Bowl.
Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, Baseball Hall of Famer, John Smoltz. Coming up, ESPN NFL Draft Analyst, Mel Kiper Jr., actor Skylar Astin. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Caleb Williams is going through his pro day right now at USC, and the video already, I don't know if he's showing off or he's just like wants to tell the scouts, if anybody's out there thinking Michael Penix is the only left-handed thrower in the draft, he's warming up left-handed. I'm seeing the video during the break.
No way.
He is 100% throwing it left-handed. And yes. It's not, and not like shoveling it like Mahomes. What? He's spinning it left-handed to warm up. And then there's video of Ryan Poles, the general manager of the Bears, chit-chatting with Caleb Williams' parents. The one that's going the most viral, though, is a spectator showing up at the pro day in Bears gear. His name is Keenan Allen.
Oh.
And there he is in Bears gear showing up at the pro day at USC.
Even.
And there is video of him dapping it up with Caleb right there. There you go.
Oh, there it is.
So there's this.
I mean, Keenan's going to catch like 110 balls.
Did I not tell everybody at the top of the show, hey, Bears fans, by the end of the day, any doubts that you have about whether they made the right choice or not is going to go out the window. And you might be here saying, well, I'm okay. So he's spinning it left-handed. Who cares? And he's dapping it up with Keenan Allen. It's all happening. It's happening. And this is the way, unfortunately for Justin Fields, it had to go. Because Caleb is that talented. He's that talented, and he's that much worth the risk of doing everything that the Bears have done. Which, to be honest with you, is one of the more educated risks I've seen. So, joining us right now is, a legend. There's no other way to describe this man. He is the legendary senior NFL draft analyst for the worldwide leader in sports, the great Mel Kiper Jr. here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you been, Mel? Good to see you.
Very senior, Rich. Not just senior, very senior.
No. You're like the Paul Rudd of draftniks. You haven't aged a day, man. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, right.
You haven't. You look exactly the same, Mel. You look awesome. Good to see you.
Appreciate it, Rich. You're the best, man.
How many drafts is this for you now? What number is this?
46 I've been associated with, 41 at ESPN, Rich. Yeah.
41. My word. And I just, because I remember watching you in college, Mel, just blowing it up and saying things, honestly, but saying things that you believed in your heart and in your gut. And, you know, obviously you were proven correct and getting called out and things of that nature. And now here, it's kind of crazy now that we're in pro days world and we're in the world of not spinning it at the combine. And now you're seeing some kids, not like Marvin Harrison Jr., not working out at the combine and now in the pro day as well. How have things changed in your evaluation of players?
It's a lot. You have to really sift through a lot of stuff now, Rich, and you have to try to figure out how much you're going to weigh that into the equation, pro days being one of those. As you just said, with quarterbacks, I've found over the years pro days don't mean much at all. Well, when I remember Peyton Manning's pro day, I got a call from somebody in the league saying, If his name was Peyton Jones, not Peyton Manning, he'd be a third-round draft choice. He's bouncing balls. He's the wobbly balls. You know, it's clear that Ryan Leaf is the better quarterback. That's from people in the league. So, again, best pro day ever, Jamarcus Russell, Zach Wilson. Okay, I team say, tell me that when he went to pro days, everybody knew what their decision was on quarterbacks. The pro days they had to show up for, but it didn't make a difference in their evaluation. So, again, how do you factor all this in is what the tough part is. We can all say, well, we like this guy. We don't. You might like players. But when the time comes to make your pick, who do you like better at that position? Who do you like better when you put it all together in their totality at all the positions? So when you're in that room and you got to make that call and you only have 6, 7, 8 draft picks, how many do you make count? And that's not easy. It's easy to sit back and do it. Those 32 teams have a tough job every time the draft rolls around.
And then, you know, obviously, if there was a secret sauce, you'd be selling it. But for 41 years of ESPN coverage and 47 years, is there a through line to know what a successful quarterback looks like when he's coming out of college, Mel?
Absolutely not, Rich. Nobody has figured that out. The NFL has not figured it out. None of us have figured it out. We can be lucky, fortunate the way things roll once in a while. You make strong comments. You always hang your hat on the ones you're right about and want to kind of forget about the ones you weren't. But at the end of the day, going back to Johnny Unitas, going back to all the quarterbacks along the way up until now, every quarterback, look at the great ones, the Joe Montanas, look at Patrick Mahomes passed over, you know, early on. You think about where we are right now with quarterbacks, you just don't know. You think you know, but you really don't know. And you're going to keep taking chances. That's the most important position in any sport, in all sports, is quarterback in a National Football League. But there's no formula, tried and true formula for that. A lot of it comes down to just your gut feel. I said that to Brian Billick when he was doing a book on quarterbacks. I said, Brian, we can talk about all we want about this quarterback did it because of that. This quarterback, like, but when you put it all together, how about the ones you were wrong about? I've had people say to me, Rich, I'm not making that same mistake I made on that quarterback again. And guess what? The quarterback they say that about turned out to be really good. Okay? Because they were trying to look at this mistake and think, I'm not going to make it. Well, whatever mistake you thought you made in this evaluation didn't turn out right either. So again, there's no, you know, tried and true formula. There's no way to figure, just because you were good 1 year picking a quarterback, you'll be good again. I'll give you a story. Mm-hmm. Kansas City Chiefs tried to trade up to get Paxton Lynch. They were unsuccessful, but they tried. Had they been successful, they wouldn't have had Chris Jones because they traded back after they didn't get Paxton Lynch and got Chris Jones. And the next year, they drafted Patrick Mahomes. Had they gotten Paxton Lynch, they wouldn't have had Chris Jones or Patrick Mahomes. What would the Kansas City Chiefs look like then? Oh. That's the fine line between being great and very average.
Well, and you've just caused many sleepless nights for Chiefs fans who have been sleeping like babies for the last 2 years. That just happened.
We woke them up, right, Rich?
You woke them up. Mel Kiper Jr. here on the Rich Eisen Show. Caleb Williams, however, is the top prospect in this draft, Mel?
Yes. Yes, he is. And 2022 did it, Rich. That was the year where he was spectacular. He had the O-line. He had Jordan Addison. This year, he didn't have the offensive line. It was bad, okay? We got a kid here at the Baltimore Ravens. I said, with the Baltimore Ravens, I'm in here in the land of pleasant living, right, with crab cakes and everything. And Andrew Voorhees, injured combine, redshirted, medical redshirt this year with the injury, now going to be a starting guard for the Ravens more than likely. Not on that line, obviously. That line was not good. No Jordan Addison. To me, you know, you go from the Notre Dame game on, it wasn't the best of Caleb Williams. But 2022 and even early in 2023 proved how great he can be. So, again, he's going to be the number one pick overall. The debate's going to be moving forward at 2 and 3 and even 4 and 5 because there's other quarterbacks that teams may trade up to get.
And so going through your mock draft, latest version of it, Mel Kiper Jr., you have the Washington Commanders choosing Jaden Daniels over Drake May. Why do you feel that way?
I feel strongly about that one, Rich. Yeah, Jaden did everything right. I mean, he did not have that off game. It wasn't a game where he didn't have his best stuff. Don't bet that with pitchers in Major League Baseball. He had it every week. He did against Alabama 2 years in a row. He added weight to that frame. He became a guy who could keep his eyes up and he could see the field. He trusted what he saw. He trusted his arm. He trusted his receivers this year. And he did a great job. And he was a dual threat quarterback who was aggressive running. He was aggressive throwing, Rich. And guess what he didn't do? He didn't turn the ball over with interceptions or fumbles. So he was the guy, aggressive, yet being a guy who didn't shoot his offense in the foot. Bottom line is, Drake May, going into the year, looked like he would challenge Caleb possibly. That was accurate because he had a really good 2022, but coordinator moved on to Wisconsin. Josh Downs moved on to the Indianapolis Colts, where he had a heck of a rookie year. Didn't have Tez Walker early on, and he was just off. He did. There was three games, Rich, late in the year, where he didn't have his best stuff even close to it. Virginia, NC State, Clemson, even the Miami game, there were some throws he could have made he didn't make. Some of the throws he didn't make, there was no excuse for. So he's got the longer delivery than you would prefer. He's young. I think he needs like the Mahomes year, Rich. He needs a year to tweak that delivery, speed it up a little bit, and settle. And he's still young. He needs some work. Mahomes sat for a year behind Alex Smith, and then he traded Alex Smith. I don't think you want Drake May to start from day one this year. Now, we say that about all these quarterbacks, and they all do, but Drake May you would like to see handled like Patrick Mahomes was in Kansas City.
And then there's J.J. McCarthy, 21 years old, lost only one game at Michigan. We all know, obviously, his resume. Where do you think he's the best fit?
Yeah, he was the toughest player for me to evaluate by far, Rich. It's a quarterback that I kept saying to people in August, that's the guy we got to really watch, right? Mm-hmm. And every game, you know it, you're Michigan, Rich. The offensive line went nine deep. They had two running backs. They had the tight end. They had Roman Wilson. They had a defense. Yeah, J.J. McCarthy wasn't asked to be the guy every week. He had plenty of guys around him to get it done. Penn State game, doesn't throw a pass. We know all about that. But in the national title game, he did have to make some plays. With his legs, he kept that really, that drive he kept alive, and he flipped field position was a key. A couple of throws he made should have been caught. He made plays when he had to. He's got Josh Allen-type competitiveness. He threw very few interceptions. That's the problem is the ones he did throw, Rich, as you know, were very memorable. The two in the semifinal game, pick sixes. The one with the before the half against Maryland, which kind of got Maryland some momentum going to halftime, made that a tight game for a while. Then the three against Bowling Green. Other than that, he didn't throw interceptions. And he's got tremendous athleticism. He's 219 pounds now. We saw him beat defenses with his legs. Doesn't have the great arm, but it's certainly good enough. J.J. McCarthy is intriguing because we never saw him put a team on his back. But could he go sixth to the Giants and reset it there and let Daniel have the year, but have him as the heir apparent? Could they do that? Could somebody trade up like Minnesota? Yeah, Denver doesn't have a two, so it'll be tough for them. J.J. is a tough one to really figure. He's going to go in the top 11. Where he's going to go right now, I have no idea.
Where do you think Penix winds up? Where do you think him?
Because tough one because of the injuries, Rich. The injuries at Indiana, the national title game wasn't anywhere close to what he's capable of. He needs to have, you know, a pocket, a clean pocket to throw from. When he doesn't, he's off platform, he's not as accurate. We saw that in the national title game. So he needs the right fit, right situation. Probably, I think, more late first if somebody trades in, if they're that's what they do now, tend to do, late first, trade back in, or early to mid second round. So where Will Levis went last year, which was a steal for the Tennessee Titans, a guy who I thought should have been a top five, top 10 pick. So again, we'll see on Michael Penix Jr., but it's really the durability, the injuries, and then certainly the last thing we saw wasn't him at his best in that national title game against Michigan.
So why do you put Bo Nix to Denver at pick dozen? What do you
because
like?
Because of the Sean Payton, Drew Brees comp. And I hate comps, Rich, but I was sitting in the office a couple of weeks ago and I'm thinking, Sean Payton doesn't have a two. He's in a division with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. He's in a conference with Josh Allen, Lamar Burrow, and all these great quarterbacks. He can't just have Jarrett Stidham. Now Russell Wilson's gone. Jarrett Stidham's the quarterback. He's not going to be able to trade up because he doesn't have a two. Who is the quarterback that most resembles Drew Brees? And I looked at the numbers, hand size, same. 6'5", Drew, 6'2", Penix, 24 years of age, professional. You know, has all, you talk about accuracy, 77% this year, 72% his first year at Oregon, 2022. He's got tons of starts at Auburn and Oregon. His father, quarterback, coach. He came up in that environment of football since he was born. He accurate, like I said, doesn't have the arm, the big time arm shot to Drew Brees. No, he didn't. That's why he was the first pick in the second round. I think if you're looking for the Sean Payton type quarterback, it would be Bo Nix. So that's why I did that. Didn't hear it from anybody, Rich. Mm-hmm. It was just putting all the puzzle pieces together.
Mel Kiper Jr. here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's just, you know, go a little bit more macro here in the few minutes I have left with you and how quickly quarterbacks who are getting drafted first round, second round are getting, you know, the gate. They're getting sent somewhere else. I mean, just take a look at the 2021 draft class, first round picks. Trevor Lawrence is the only guy still with his team, and now he's being backed up by the guy who was chosen 14 picks later with, you know, Mac Jones. And Justin Fields got sent away essentially because Caleb Williams is sitting right there first overall. I get it. So that's the long windup for this pitch. Do you think, in the way that we're seeing quarterbacks get sent elsewhere quickly. Do you think if the Panthers somehow had the first overall pick, let's just say Ryan Poles in his one slip up building the Bears, do you think that he would, if he had left the Panthers with the first overall pick, do you think if the Panthers were first overall right now, they would swap out Bryce Young for Caleb Williams, Mel Kiper?
It's a great question. That's a great question. And guess what? Justin Fields would have been with the Bears, and the Bears would have been happy moving forward with him. History would have been rewritten. There's no question about that.
Right.
Bryce Young, I don't know how, if you loved him when you drafted him, you wouldn't love him still now based on the fact that he got beat up. And the one question, Rich, was size, right? We never saw a quarterback. We've seen quarterbacks short, Russell Wilson, right? Shorter than you prefer, have great success. But when you're small, I'm talking about small, diminutive quarterback, okay? 5'10", what, 185, 190 when he's playing? That was a manufactured 205, 206, whatever it was. They knew that. He got beat up. His offensive line, Ole block after Ole block. But what did he do, Rich? He beat C.J. Stroud, but that doesn't matter. You know, that doesn't matter. We saw in college, Rodney Pete beat Troy Aikman. Who cares, right? Bottom line is, one game. But he stayed healthy. He finished a year, and he wasn't injured, okay? So that, I think, spoke volumes of his toughness, and they knew his size when he came in. Get him an offensive line, get him some receivers, and then let's evaluate Bryce Young. So to answer your question, I think they would have to stick with Bryce Young. I don't know how you cut ties with Bryce Young when you gave him nothing to work with, okay? And now everything's been changed out from a coaching standpoint. So now back to where we are again with Bryce Young. Now, I think Bryce Young, it would be totally unfair to him to cut ties based on a year where he had no help.
I know, but it seems to be, you know, an unfair world that we're seeing more and more when it comes to asking.
You know why,
these-
Rich?
What?
You got to hit the grand slam. A single double in this league right now with Mahomes winning all these Super Bowls is not good. Everybody has to cut ties with a guy that they don't see the ability to get to here. If they think you get to here, but not here, they're cutting ties. And they're trying to hit the home run, in some cases, a grand slam.
And is that why they decided to, in Chicago, send Fields to Pittsburgh and then give Caleb Williams a shot? Because they think he's got the ability to go up here and they're doubtful that Fields could, essentially? Is that it?
What do GMs and head coaches want, Rich? The guys that they selected. That's what they want. Ryan Poles wasn't the GM, okay? That's the bottom line. Ryan Poles was the director of college scouting in Kansas City when Patrick Mahomes was drafted, right? So we saw, you know, comps, talk about similarities to Patrick Mahomes during the career of Caleb Williams. He drafted Patrick. He probably saw some of that. I'm talking about Ryan Poles. That's why we are where we are right now.
All right, last one for you, Mel. On draft night, when you're sitting there, your crystal ball it for me. How many quarterbacks in a row to start?
I think obviously 1 and 2. It's Caleb and then Jaden. 3's interesting, Rich. I'll tell you, it's going to make or break a couple organizations. I think it's going to be Drake May. It's either going to be Minnesota moving up, New England moving out, and New England needs a quarterback just as much as Minnesota does. So 3-4 years from now, we're going to be looking at Minnesota or New England. Somebody's going to be smart. Somebody's going to be not real smart because both teams need quarterbacks. What happens at 3 is the whole pivotal point of the draft. I think May gets in there at 3, and then I think somehow JJ's up there. I don't know who gets him. And then Bo Nix, I have at 12. So I think they're going to come off the board fast and furious. I think the key is going to be New England at 3, and Drake May is going to be the key quarterback because there's some mixed opinion on how great he can be.
And the guy that you love that you think you'll be singing the hosannas for the team that gets the value pick by getting this kid in the first round, who do you think? Who do you love?
I think if he keeps dropping the way he is, the way some think, and I think he's going to go at 10, but some think he could drop to 15, 18. To me, it's Brock Bowers. He's a receiving entity. He's not a tight end. You can move him around anywhere you want. He's going to be a productive, consistent, reliable, major league weapon for a quarterback and a pass offense in a National Football League.
And you have him going to the Jets right now, huh? You got to go
I do right now, but hey, they just got Mike Williams after I did that. They have the offensive line, but they have some age there and some injury issues. Do they take an insurance policy with a J.C. Latham from Alabama, who was a right tackle, but feels he has the skill set to be a left tackle? Troy Fautanu, a left tackle with longer arms than Joe Alt, who could kick the guard. Do they want that insurance policy on that O-line, or do they want to take a guy like Bowers? So it's going to be really interesting to see what they do at 10 in terms of the New York Jets.
Man, I appreciate the time, Mel. Really do. Thanks for coming on. I look forward to I don't know where our sets are going to be in Detroit, but I always love waving.
We'll find each other, Rich. I'll tell you what, most fascinating draft I've been associated with in my 46 years of doing this.
Really? Really? Yep. No kidding. Because of the quarterbacks and the other kids that are so good at the skill positions and things like that?
All the intrigue about trading up, trading down, which quarterback's the right one, and other positional battles. It's really going to make or break organizations in terms of how they are, good or bad, over the next 4 to 6 years.
All right, Mel. Thanks for joining here. And you look so happy. I see the Mad Mel on the McAfee show. Mel, have you seen the Mad Mel on Pat's
show? I've heard about it. I haven't seen it. I have not heard. I'll have to talk to Pat. I'll get on there one of these days, and I'll see and get. What do you think? Can you grade it for me, Rich?
I have met Mad Mel in person, and for a split second, couldn't tell the difference. Couldn't have dealt. and he's age wise. If we check birth certificates, it does appear to be a much younger man. Can't tell the difference. Really?
Okay.
Couldn't.
So rivals Caliendo, right? Rivals from Caliendo.
I don't know, man. For a split second, I just thought, and then, I think he's also got the Lou Holtz in him, too, Mel. When you go on there, just be careful. You don't know who's going to be interviewing you, but.
You never know. Could be a twin. Yep.
But Mad Mel's not as pretty good. It's pretty good. So, and it's the ultimate form of flattery, as you know, Mel.
You got it, pal.
Take care, man. You be well.
Great being with you, Rich.
You got it. It's Mel Kiper Jr., the original, the happy Mel.
That was great. That was awesome.
What?
It's draft season when Mel's popping up.
Oh, dude. And he's just fired up.
Sweaters and the slick back hair, right. And he's in your face. Love it.
By the way, can we write that down so we don't forget it? Calling Brock Bowers a receiving entity. He's not a tight end. He's not a receiver.
Is that going to be the new position?
He's that much of an outlier, it appears. He's a receiving entity. I love that. He's an RE. Which may be a reason why I love it. Nice. All right, Skylar Astin is in our green room. When we come back, we will have the star of So Help Me Todd, diehard Jet fan, diehard Knick fan. We haven't had him on in a while. He will be back out here in a second on a busy Wednesday.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I am sitting here with one of the stars of So Help Me Todd, back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Skylar Astin. Skylar, it is great to see you. We haven't had you back here
It's been too long.
It's been a minute,
yep.
As they say. And So Help Me Todd, a great episode coming up where you and your mom investigate where in the world Aaron Rodgers is. That's going to be
exactly
great.
Yes. We were tracking his recovery. We're kind of following him on his ayahuasca trips and just making sure everything's intact.
Well, there is an ayahuasca episode of So Help Me Todd coming up, right?
Yeah, exactly. Where we kind of go a little deep into ourselves.
Now, so that's something that we need to revisit here is you and I have very similar rooting interests.
That is true.
Right. Rangers,
for better or
Knicks,
for worse. Rangers, Knicks, Jets. I don't know about Mets, but yes. That's
awesome. Are you Mets as well?
I am Mets as well.
Okay. Well, that's TJ Jefferson behind your right shoulder. He's a Met fan as well. Yeah. I'm older than you. Uh-huh. So when Reggie Jackson came to town, when I was 8.
Yeah.
and my brother was a Met fan. That's where I just said adios. Yeah, see you later, pal.
Yeah, I understand.
You know that. So
you can only suffer so much with
exactly.
Our teams.
You're.
It's hard, man. I haven't had one championship in my lifetime except the Rangers in '94.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
right. Mark Messier. It was it.
It was a big moment. Brian Leetch, Adam Graves, Richter, all those guys. But I think the Rangers are looking really good this year as well.
There you go.
They probably have the best chance out of all my teams.
Well, listen, the Knicks have just been. A delight.
It's a joy to watch. It's a joy.
I have just said here, and I'm wondering if you would echo this, and I bet you will. So how's that for a setup? that top 10 Knicks of my entire life,
yeah,
that I love, root for, and think is the essence of why I root for the team. Jalen Brunson has cracked the top 10.
He is so far above the top 10. And for me, I made a very declarative statement way too early to say this, yes, but I think he's my favorite Nick of all time. Oh. I know that sounds like a lot of recency bias, and there's Patrick Ewing, and there's Bernard King, and there's Walt Clyde Frazier, but there's something about him. He's like approaching his prime, and he really feels like a star who's emerged in the right way, and he plays out of his mind. He plays with such heart, and he's just such a leader. Love him on and off the court.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
And I just think part of the reason why you might feel that way for him, not to ascribe any feelings to you, but we share it, is he has made himself into what he has become.
Exactly.
If that makes any sense. That there was, and I think a legitimate, there's been a huge pushback from Knicks fans, but it was legitimate when Kenny Smith said at the time on the NBA on TNT, that the Knicks are just never going to be where Knicks fans want them to be because they never have the best player on the court.
That fuels our fire, though. I mean,
I know it does, but that's changed, though. Brunson, is becoming that.
Yeah, I will
right
take
now.
Him over. This is crazy, I know, with Halliburton and Lillard and everyone, but I would take him right now as a leader over any point guard in the league. I really am very
okay now.
Very,
now, but now you're getting there.
Maybe it's because I'm feeling such joy in just watching him come into his own.
Yes,
and I just see such a future and such a potential and such a building block in him.
Right,
that's how I feel. It's specifically for the Knicks, for this squad. Like I really, you know, I was at the Christmas Day game when they played Damian Lillard, and of course, who wouldn't want him? We wanted him for years when he was on Portland.
Right.
But now that we actually have that 1A point guard in Jalen Brunson, it's I don't know, just he's like my guy.
Well, I mean, the Christmas Day game, was that the one the Knicks won?
Yep.
They did.
Yeah.
That,
I sang the national anthem on their good luck charm. That's 3 years in a row.
Hey now.
Yeah.
What is that like singing the national anthem in Madison Square Garden, brother?
It's very historic. I'm now comfortable because I've done it several times. I will say for the Rangers, it's a bit easier because you're kind of at the foot of the ice, so you get to see this banner, and they have the lyrics right there. When you're doing the Knicks, you're half court, and it's kind of right there. And so if you got to check out a lyric or two, it's a little like there's gleaming, and there's beaming, and there's streaming. There's a lot of like similar words you don't want to kind of circle back and start the same verse over and over. But
okay.
I've done it enough times that the lyrics are no issue.
You know that's a gambling thing in the NFL.
Oh, I know.
At the Super Bowl.
The over-under?
Yeah.
See how long it goes?
Do you know this sort of stuff? Like you,
yes.
Can you tell like just by the first watching someone else do it?
Of course. What's the over-under? Probably 90 seconds or even maybe it's like for the Super Bowl, it's probably longer. It's probably closer to like 100 seconds, maybe even 2 minutes.
Reba McEntire's.
He's our degenerate of the staff,
right,
by the way.
But she ended up going over because she double braved.
She double braved.
She double braved in the overhead.
You don't say.
She was like right on the number, like 96 seconds or something like that.
That's the real like insider trading betting thing that like, I mean, I could really make a lot of people a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because there's a way to do it. There's a way to slow it down, especially if you're going a cappella, which I do. If you're not to track. If you are to track, then you can have someone sneak into the sound check, and that's how you can kind of figure it out.
Well, now that's Mike Deltufo's area of expertise.
I used to do that, and I could have easily right? done that because I saw a lot of those rehearsals.
Yeah.
We're going to get banned from Super Bowls.
Yeah, exactly.
Song orders.
We're about to get banned.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was bad.
Of course you did it a cappella.
I had to. That's,
yeah. Is that your brand?
That's my calling card. They asked that. Honestly, every time I've done it, it's never been an option. It's just like you're going to go out there. You're going to be vulnerable, and you're going to sing about our country.
Did they give you?
That's the directive.
You're a patriot, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is tough to tell a Jet fan. But,
exactly.
Listen, so you choose whether you can do it to track, to use your phrase?
I've never had the option. It's always just like, no, you're going to go out there. You're just going to. They don't even give me the in-ear. I just go, and there's a bit of an echo. I just trust the process. And,
dude.
Yeah. That's the Broadway style. We do it live.
Okay. Okay. You only know one. You only have one speed, Skylar Aston.
And it's live.
It's live.
Maybe if I do like a Super Bowl or a World Series or a big one, I think there's a little bit of like a, you can get like a Fergie bass or something like an upright or something weird like
that. Okay, very good. I've got Skylar Aston here on the Rich Eisen Show. Were you the only, how many people on the set of, I believe it was Pitch Perfect 2, that knew who the Green Bay Packers were when they came on the set? You were a small subset, or am I just
Fair amount. There's like Adam Devine. I know Elizabeth Banks and Max Handelman, our producers and director. They are big sports people.
Right.
So, and they were the ones that recruited the Green Bay Packers.
That I do know that. I think we, did we have Clay Matthews on here saying that he got a direct message from Elizabeth Banks and then was very excited about that.
Yes.
And then found out she was married and then it was a problem.
Yeah, but it got us the Packers in the movie. I mean, she really flirted her way to a great sequel. No, I think there was a bunch of people on the offensive line. I know David Bakhtiari and a bunch of people like those guys who was a legendary, player, but they were huge fans of the first movie and they apparently rehearsed and knew my entire finale number. They knew, they did it in the locker room. It went kind of viral. And so that's why Elizabeth reached out and was like, would you want to do a little cameo in the sequel?
Yes.
And so we were all pumped.
Okay.
We did not have Aaron Rodgers, but we did have Jordan Rodgers, his brother, who was a bit of a doppelganger.
So that's halfway home,
exactly.
Right there.
Exactly. We were like, we have a Rodgers in the sequel.
And how about the Jets now have Rodgers?
We do. I heard we do.
Yeah, I know he for four snaps.
Yeah.
And at this point in time, he's yet to even tweet out, I do not intend to be the vice president of the United States.
Right.
So at the very least, I do believe the Jets offensive line will have a nickname of Secret Service. Because they're protecting Aaron Rodgers.
And we're building a heck of an offensive line.
And by the way, Tyron Smith being added and Moses Morgan being back. And, Vera Tucker hopefully will get through an entire season.
Potentially the draft will have another weapon.
That is entirely possible.
We need depth there. We need to protect our vice president.
Vice president,
of course,
exactly. Bakhtiari might be.
Is that true?
Well, he's available. The Packers moved on.
I have his phone number.
Still really?
Have his phone number. Yeah,
FaceTime.
Anytime you can imagine.
By the way, yes, we can imagine.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even have my phones in the green.
That's right. We left it in the green.
Damn it. That's the only reason.
That's the reason why we're not FaceTiming David Bakhtiari right now.
Anytime you have an athlete's number, you don't want to abuse it, but you want to be like, hey, good luck today in the Super Bowl, or whatever they're doing. That's so cool.
How would you like to be a teammate of Aaron Rodgers again and be part of the New York Jets? And
something tells me Aaron's probably doing the recruiting, I don't need to jump on board. But no, I'm excited. It's like one of the few times that a sports organization does a full mulligan. They're like, whoops, didn't do it this year.
Right.
We had certain expectations. They're keeping Salah. They're keeping everyone. And we're just gonna try again.
Dude, run it back. There's no other choice but to run it back.
Yeah.
It's that simple because although the Jets did kick the tires on every quarterback at the combine out of due diligence, but sitting down at 10, they're never gonna be able to go. And plus, that would be insane to use any draft capital on moving up to go get a quarterback when you've got all eggs in the vice presidential basket.
That's right.
Now,
and Tyrod Taylor backing him up. That's nothing to sneeze at.
That was that had to have happened.
Yeah.
We need
a plan B.
100% had to have happened.
Yeah.
We needed that protection from the other quarterback.
Exactly.
Skylar Aston here on the Rich Eisen Show. So Help Me Todd on CBS taking a break from its schedule over the next week.
Yes.
March Madness.
Hey, we got to be preempted.
I get it. Right.
We'll get some cool commercials, though. We'll get some new eyeballs. We'll get the college boys to watch our show, to watch our mother-son legal
When
drama.
Creighton's at the line shooting a 1-1,
exactly.
Iron Eagle will say, so help me, Todd,
that's
Thursday
right.
night.
TCU is storming the court, they'll be like, but also, hope you like mother and sons working together and pulling hijinks and hullabaloos. No, it's all for a good reason, and I'm excited for when we do come back, because our back half of the season is really fun.
Okay,
yeah,
fantastic.
We just did a prank war episode, meaning I had to pull pranks and I had to be pranked, and so I'm still have like some paint in my ears, my eardrums, and stuff like that.
Well, TJ used to be a producer on Punk'd.
Oh, no way.
So you're all ears on pranks.
I still have a whole notebook full of ideas. So
okay.
If you need them, let me know.
Are we going to make Justin Timberlake cry? Is that what's going to happen?
Did you do that?
I mean, I wasn't there for that one because that was the very first one we ever shot. So it was very locked down. But yeah, that did
in fact happen.
Probably the most famous episode of Punk.
Oh, for sure.
Which is why you're bringing it up.
Yeah, I mean, that's the nightmare, right? As a celebrity, that you just act crazy because something crazy is happening to you, and everyone's just laughing at your vulnerability.
Marsha Gay Harden must have thought she was being punked when they told her you're being preempted for March Madness.
Exactly. She was like, "This, what is that? What is March Madness?" And then we explained it to her. And she understands.
So she didn't fill out her bracket? Is that what you're saying?
You know what? Actually, Marsha kind of, I could see her do. She likes to get like festive for stuff like that. She got really into the, we were shooting on a Saturday once during the NFL playoffs. Yes. And she did like a whole little, she set us all up with like snacks and stuff like that. Had like a Cowboys jersey on. Wrong. Sure. I mean, even though they weren't in it, but she was a Cowboys fan.
Okay.
So, she's festive with sports, which I think we can get a bracket going.
That's
for sure.
Cool. All right. You got that going. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I'm just taking a stab. But is this the first time you ever worked with her, or do you ever work Broadway with her or anything like that?
No, I've been a fan of her work, obviously, for so many years, and we kind of are cut from the same cloth in that we both do theater and then both do kind of TV and film. So our process is very similar, and she's just, she's super easy to work with. She's just super prepared, you know, so it feels good on the day. We get to do like 3-4 minute walk and talks where they don't really cut the cameras, and it's like just us kind of doing some lengthy scene work.
No kidding.
Which is nice, yeah.
Well, you're a pro. I shouldn't even say this, but that would just kind of freak me out a little bit. Like, you know, if you're like 2 minutes into the walk and talk here, like you better.
Oh, yeah. There's that
better
feeling.
Stick the landing.
Where someone else like kind of has to be receiving you on the other end of the walk and talk, and they just have the final line and they don't slot in right. And you're like, you had one job, one line. But I mean, it happens. It happens. It's like there's a bit of a tense thing, especially when it's going well. When you're like, but similarly, Marsha and I, unless if we really, you know, there's a real misstep, like we'll just keep going forward with it.
Yeah.
You know, even if the line is like, we're kind of bobbling it, and then we keep it going if we can.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, catch up on season 1, the start of season 2 right now on Paramount Plus through the Roku portal while we're waiting for So Help Me Todd to come back with new episodes to conclude season 2 starting Thursday, April 11th at 10 Eastern time. And of course, again, you can check out everything on Paramount Plus right here on the Roku channel. It was great to see you again, brother.
So great to see you, too.
So next time we see each other, Knicks
championship, Rangers championship, and the Jets will be in the playoffs.
Okay. With Aaron Rodgers.
With Aaron Rodgers, okay, yeah.
Okay. Write that down.
This is
going to happen.
I'm gonna put a future on that.
Okay.
Exactly.
So the Patriot fan is writing nothing down right now.
Can we make a deal to have you come back before all that happens, just in case it takes a long time for that?
Exactly.
Hey,
we want to come back before 2030.
I want to see him again this century.
It's not a prerequisite.
Yes. Not a prerequisite.
Okay.
But ideally.
Yes. We're speaking things into existence. Pipe down over there.
This is what The Secret is about. We just read it.
All right. Skylar Astin right here. Follow him at Skylar Astin on both Twitter and Instagram. Great to see you here, brother.
Great to see you.
You bet. We'll see you then soon with all the championships. In the meantime, So Help Me Todd. Check it out right here on Roku.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of 3 pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
All right, back here on the program. One of these things is true.
Okay.
Caleb Williams' pro day is over, and he looked absolutely terrible, and the Bears blew it by trading away Justin Fields and thinking he's the guy.
Yep.
Or it's the exact opposite. What's your, just a quick
I'll take letter B.
Okay.
Mariah, I see.
Okay, very good.
That's not true.
Okay, what do you got?
I'm going to say the latter statement.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the winner is?
Da-da-ding. Hold on. Here it comes.
Thank you. My eyes see.
I can use those.
Caleb Williams had a great pro day.
Shock.
Of course.
Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Chicago Bear.
So.
No surprise, really, right?
Dude warmed up left-handed.
Oh, my God. Look at this.
Did you see that video?
I'm watching his deep ball that went about 80 yards.
Dude warmed up left-handed. He should have done the combine left-handed.
And then left.
Yeah, but then, like, he wouldn't have thrown as far. Right.
He threw it from his own 24. I'm watching this deep ball. And the receiver catches it on the 20.
There you go. That's good enough.
Yeah, I think
that's a 66-yard pass.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
I mean, it's not Joe Milton.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, I told Bears fans, it's so funny. Adam Chudwin, I just saw him in the back, our call screener. That's all he's doing. Like, if you're calling right now, he's not picking up.
Everyone call right now.
Call right now.
Ask
him how he's doing.
And just be like, hey, what do you think? Caleb, good?
And he's just like, he's pretty good. I'm like, yes, you're good. You have no idea. Bears fans, they can't compute it right now. They cannot compute that their world might be opening up in a way that they have not been able to fathom. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. So the Caleb Williams pro day is over, and he's the first overall pick in the draft. And I know Jaden Daniels is going to make a run for it, and we will be singing his praises in 6 days when he's done with his pro day and he's lit up the entire universe, you know, for sure.
Oh yeah.
So
that's a lock on that.
Yeah, I know. And so and then Drake May will look terrific the next day. JJ McCarthy's gonna look great on Friday. Whenever Washington's pro day, it's gonna be great for Michael Penix. Unfortunately for Bo Nix, what his pro day was the same day as
his
free agency opened, I think, something like that.
Yeah, last Wednesday, so, I think. Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. The eye in the sky isn't lying. Caleb Williams is going to be the first overall pick in the draft, and Bears fans don't know how to handle it because he's really all that in the biscuit, and I think he's going to come to their town and just, light it up like somebody who doesn't have their order ready at the Wiener Circle at 3 a.m. Get lit up.
Man, I kind of want him in fantasy next year.
Okay. I'm not saying he's going to be that great coming out of the box. I mean, honestly.
Keenan Allen's out there, so he's got to.
Well, but Keenan Allen's out there because he knows this is going to be his teammate, and he's going to be there, and he's there to support, and they're gonna start hanging out. And DJ Moore, I know the business is business tweet that he sent out, and I'm sure he's not terribly happy for Justin Fields or about Justin Fields, but this kid's coming to town, and yeah, Brad Biggs, these are future teammates. You can remove the question mark. There's no way they're going to basically go in a different direction. This is it.
Do you think Keenan and Caleb are kind of saying who gets the number 13 next year?
Good one.
You know, because someone's not getting that number, and since Keenan was there first,
well. Did they assign him a number? Did he hold up a jersey the other day?
Who, Keenan?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so.
But that's, that's his number.
To be determined.
DJ Moore wears 2. Caleb wore 3.
Also, Chris, Keenan could have been telling him, like, what he likes for breakfast, because Caleb's got to go make, the rookie runs to Dunkin' Donuts or whatever they got in Chicago.
Listen, if the Bears fans have any sensibility about them, they'll just send it in a paper bag like a Jet fan would.
It worked for you guys.
It sure did. So, congratulations to Bears fans. You've got Caleb Williams coming your way, and he looks the part. Now he's just got to be the part. Get it? You know who didn't look the part? Speaking of looking the part, who didn't look the part of one of the best 68 teams in men's college basketball last night was the Virginia Cavaliers.
Former champion, by the way.
Well, I know that, which is kind of difficult to say that. And this is nothing against Tony Bennett or the program or anything like that. It's just that this year. Maybe because they are former champions, they're like, okay, we'll let you be in a play-in game. And Colorado State blew them out, and Virginia looked terrible. I mean, the basketball was awful. This is March Madness. We're supposed to be feeling joy and being on the edge of our seat and watching some really competitive action. Instead, it was just terrible to see. And you know, Wally Zerbiak was right for calling it out the way that he did. And I can only imagine, what if you are one of the teams who finished red hot and did all the other metrics and didn't make the tournament? And the bubble popped on you, and you watch this team do that?
Yeah, Pitt, St. John's, all these teams. Yeah,
all the Big Ten, I mean, Big East teams.
And major
name anybody.
Beef. Yeah,
name
major
anybody.
Beef. Yeah.
And there, but for the grace of the, you know, March Madness gods, you did get in as, say, a 9 seed. And Tom Izzo had this to say about the selection process, and he thinks that there should be more. He echoed Rick Pitino's sentiments that there should be more coaches and more former players involved in this process, not just athletic directors going through analytics.
There definitely should be some coach players on that thing to bring some levity to as crazy as it's gotten. And yet, you know, I never know what the net means, what KenPom means, what ESPN means, or Iron Mountain Daily News. You know, there's so many things out there right now that I think do influence.
I love him. That's exactly what Mariucci would say. It's funny. I saw the soundbite on ESPN, and they said, or the Daily News is the quote. They left out the Iron Mountain part. Come on, that's the most important part. These are the Iron Mountain Michigan men, Mooch and Izzo. Come on now, that's the most important part. Is there an Iron Mountain Daily News, or did you just throw Iron Mountain out there? Can you look that up?
Yeah.
He's not wrong.
No, that's a real thing.
The KenPom and the this, the at, the other thing. Sometimes you got to go gut and feel it. And as he points out, like, you don't know. 3-game losing streak counts against you. No idea who's playing hurt or anything like that. You got to dive deep into it. But it is just, you know, throwing darts at a board when you're trying to pick these games. Mm-hmm. Our Final Fours are in the books, right? And we have tweeted out our link to anybody who wants to join the Rich Eisen Show page. Correct?
Yeah, I'll hit that. I'll hit the retweet one more time.
Yeah, I'll hit it too.
I put the pictures of the mugs up there you're playing for.
Yeah, you're playing for a mug set. There's the traditional Rich Eisen Show mug and the one that we have created based off of our Super Bowl in Vegas. There's me and the running man in full Elvis gear.
It's great.
Who is your Final Four, Chris? And the caveat for this is Chris is absolutely terrible at this.
Well, not only am I insanely terrible at this.
You have Mark
Sanders. I haven't watched any college basketball.
Okay, but.
One seed's Connecticut and North Carolina.
You moved them through.
And then I got Kentucky is a 3.
They are Kentucky.
Kansas, Blue Bloods special. I'm going to take Kentucky. Coach Cal back in the winner's circle.
You're taking Kentucky. By the way, one of the greatest ESPN commercials all time. Was Robert Goulet singing the song that We Are Kentucky to the tune of, I believe, the Partridge Family.
Wow.
We are Kentucky.
Kentucky over UNC in the final.
Remember that? He was sitting there, Robert Goulet doing it. All right, Mike, your Final Four. You know the most here because you work faders for Baby Fox. Watching
Big Fox.
Big Fox. Oh, okay. All right.
And Baby Fox. UConn, Arizona, and Marquette, Purdue.
Okay.
And UConn, I did like at least 6 or 8 of their games this year. They are
the real deal.
100% the best team in college basketball.
Okay.
If they lose, it's because they played bad and they did not play to the level they were playing.
Okay.
And Purdue, Zach Edey's unbelievable. I mean, I did like 4 or 5 of their games.
He's a giant.
If he plays,
man,
that's got to be like, that's it.
It's Purdue's time to finally get to the.
They lost in the first round.
I think they're going to lose to Marquette because I think Marquette's a little better because I did Marquette games also. Okay. So it's like.
Great job, Mike.
See, I actually did research.
Very well done.
Yeah.
TJ, your Final Four?
Well, it's funny we brought up Tom Izzo because I got him going to the Final Four.
No way.
Yeah. What?
As a 9 seed?
I got a 9 seed. I got UConn and Michigan State.
Look at him.
And then I got, you guys laugh like this is an impossibility with one of the best coaches of all time.
Okay.
You
know? Very good.
Houston and Purdue. And, you know, thanks to likes of, you know, Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid and Giannis. You know, I'm a fan of the big man.
Okay.
In basketball, and Zach Edey's going to help the big man return to prominence.
Okay.
He's going to lead the Boilermakers. Shout out
over
to
UConn.
Big dog Glenn
over
UConn.
Good. Yeah. Okay. All right. Very good. Michigan State making the Final Four would certainly be a headline in the Iron Mountain Daily News.
You know, it's just you got to take a chance.
And or the New York Daily News. My Final Four. I went with UConn winning it all.
Oh,
yeah. Good job, and then Rich. two and three seeds.
Oh, nice.
Over Marquette, like me.
Yeah, over
like
Marquette. It. Yeah, see, I know what I'm – well, I mean, that wasn't much of a game in the Big East final last weekend. But I'll take Arizona and Tennessee popping through. I would love to see Purdue make it. I really would.
So, yeah.
I would love to see him make it because they just have been so disappointing for their fans in recent days. But there you go. Those are our Final Fours. And we'll tweet out on our – at Rich Eisen show the link to join our
– That's right.
Our pool.
Get in there, people.
Hey, listen, thanks to today's guests, Albert Breer, Happy Mel Kiper Jr., John Smoltz, and Skylar Astin. Tomorrow, Larry David in studio.
LD.
And then we'll keep you up to speed on March Madness. That's how we send you into your good Wednesday, everybody.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.